Good morning, Fritz Berger and bloodandfaith.com. It's Friday. Welcome to the weekend. It's the 22nd of April, 2022. We need to talk about judgment. There's two kinds of judgment. There's eternal judgment at the throne of God. So we stand before him and give an account for our lives. And there's judgment in time and in history. And both of them are featured heavily in the Holy Scriptures. And we see them over and over again throughout history. If you read the story of the ancient nation of Israel, as opposed to the current 2022 nation of Israel, which is not, there's no relation. There's no relation whatsoever. We see that God judges that nation in time and in history. This is normal. This is the way it ought to be. They were to be an example to the entire world. And when the nation was created, and it took centuries to create this nation, the nation wasn't, you know, there is a scripture that said the nation was born in a day, but that's the nation that's in Jesus Christ. When the Bible says the nation was born, can a people be born in a day? Can a nation be born in a day? Answer is yes. That's in Jesus Christ. Okay, that's the Israel now. Israel now is those in Jesus Christ. He was born in a day. That nation was born in a day. It's in Jesus Christ. All right. But the ancient Israel, God made them to be an example to the nations of the world. They weren't there just for themselves. They were not there just for themselves. They were to be an example to the rest of the world. And the nations should have looked at them and said, hey, we want to be like you. We want to be like you. How are you doing what you're doing? And they said, oh, well, it's really simple. Here's the Ten Commandments. These are the Ten Commandments of God. If you as a nation live by the Ten Commandments, you'll be blessed in time and history. And that is Deuteronomy 28. If you want to go read the ninth chapter of the book of Daniel, you'll see that Daniel understood this very, very clearly. Daniel said, God, we've been cursed because we didn't obey the Ten Commandments. We didn't obey your covenant. And the curses have rolled out upon us, even according to what your covenant stated, which is Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 5, the Ten Commandments are listed, as well as Exodus 20, as well as three times in the Gospels by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ enumerated the Ten Commandments, or at least half of them. That never went away. Jesus Christ said in his first sermon, Matthew chapter 5, don't think I came to do away with the law or the commandments. Do you not think I came to do away with the law or the commandments? Very first sermon, most important sermon he gave, Sermon on the Mount. All right, and so there's the Ten Commandments. And then he said, if you as a nation live by them, you're going to be blessed. And if you don't, you're going to be cursed. All right, and I've said repeatedly that the first and third commandment refer explicitly to Jesus Christ. It's explicitly to Jesus Christ. If you will not serve Jesus Christ, you will not serve God the Father. This goes for nations. Ten commandments are for nations. Ten commandments do not give you individual salvation. You're not individually converted because you live by and large by the Ten Commandments. And by the way, no one's perfect. Nobody's kept the Ten Commandments perfectly ever. Jesus Christ said, if you even looked at a woman with lust in your heart, you've committed adultery. So it's not even possible. And again, that was why you had the blood sacrifices to atone for sin until the Lamb of God came. When the Lamb of God comes, that's the one sacrifice for all time. The blood of Jesus Christ shed for the forgiveness of sins. But this judgment in time and in history is based upon a nation or society's obedience or deviation from the Ten Commandments. Now, it's hard to sometimes envision that. It's especially hard when you've never been taught this. But it's right there. And all the prophets who prophesied, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, the minor prophets, they're all prophesying in the terms of the Ten Commandments in Deuteronomy 28. When they say, look, bad things are coming this way because you've forsaken God, it's directly in relationship to the Ten Commandments and the consequences of disobedience laid out in Deuteronomy 28. I was listening to a guy on a TV the other day. No, I don't have a TV. On a podcast, YouTube channel, something like that. It's all the same. He was talking about prophecy, and he said, you know, this is some dude's prophecy. Some guy said, this is what's going to happen. And he said, correctly, you know, without making any judgment on whatever the guy said, you have to have a scripture to back up. Scripture has to back up what you're saying. And that, if that is true, and I won't argue with it, how much more Jeremiah and Isaiah and Daniel and Ezekiel? What scriptural foundation did they have for giving their prophecies? The answer is the Ten Commandments and Deuteronomy 28, the blessings and the curse. They prophesied in terms of Deuteronomy 28. And Israel was to be an example to the nations of the world. Look, here's the covenant with God. Here's the covenant with God. Live by the Ten Commandments, you'll be blessed. Deviate from them, you're going to be cursed and wiped out off the face of the earth. That's exactly what happened to Israel. Now, this doesn't go into all the laws of sacrifice and all that. I'm just saying the Ten Commandments. And as we've talked before many times on this channel, virtually all of the Ten Commandments preceded Moses. That's something people don't get. The Ten Commandments didn't just show up when Moses showed up in Mount Sinai. The Sabbath day comes from creation. Okay? So you want to talk about the fourth commandment, I believe it is. Thou shalt keep the Sabbath day holy. In all your work 6 days and have a seventh day as a rest. That comes right out of creation. That's Genesis chapter 1. The Sabbath was not invented by Moses. It goes all the way back to the beginning. Honor your father and mother. That goes all the way back to the beginning with the creation of Adam and Eve. Honoring one's parents, honoring one's ancestors. Thou shalt not murder. Hey, the story of Cain and Abel. Thou shalt not murder. It goes all the way back to the beginning. Moses codified what had already been there. Thou shalt not commit adultery. God gave Adam one wife. Gave him a woman. Didn't give him a man. Gave him a woman. Didn't give him everybody else's woman. Gave him his woman. How hard is that? I am the Lord thy God who brought you up out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. That goes right back to the very beginning. Of course there was only one God. When Adam and Eve walked in the garden with a pre-incarnated Jesus Christ, was there any question on whether or not they would serve the Almighty God? Of course there was. When God told Noah, look, he built the ark, because I'm going to blot out everything that breathes on the earth. Was there any question in anybody's mind that there's one God and you need to serve him? There was not. There was none. When Noah gets off the ark, what does he do? He takes some of the animals, some of the clean animals, and he has a sacrifice to the Almighty God. That long preceded the Ten Commandments. When the Bible talks about thou shalt not covet, well, you know who coveted? The angels that fell out of their place, they coveted. They said, we want those women. I want another man's wife. Again, that goes right into the adultery thing too. I want that woman. And they took whomever they wanted to, married or not. Genesis chapter 6. You don't make social policy based on covetousness. You don't say, oh, he has more than he does. Let's take some from him and give to him. That's covetousness. There's other ways to address that. That's just base covetousness and greed. What commandment am I missing here? Thou shalt not murder. We talked about that. Thou shalt not steal. How hard is that? Where is that a hard thing? So these commandments they're eternal. They've been there since the very beginning. And if a society lives by them, over time, by and large, they're going to be blessed. If they don't, they will be cursed. So that's judgment in time and in history. And you can say, well, you know, sometimes bad things happen to good people. Oh, very much true. And I've talked about that quite a bit in my life. Certainly in bloodandfaith.com, I've talked about that. And that is true. Job is a perfect example of that. God has his ways. God has his reason to do this. Even with the ancient nation of Israel, he says, look, I'm going to leave some of these nations in there to teach each generation how to go to war. And at the end of the day, I don't want to reduce this to a chemical formula. At the end of the day, there is a monarch. There's an emperor, a god emperor that presides over the earth. And we serve him. This is the guidance he's given us. We ought to live by it. Now, the church is God's chosen people. Those baptized into Jesus Christ are God's holy nation. We are Mount Zion. We are the new Jerusalem. Who are God's chosen people today? It's the church. Those baptized into Jesus Christ. Those serving and obeying Jesus Christ. Are there tares in the field? Yes. But that's not for us to deal with. The angels will come at the end of the age. They'll pull the tares out and cast them into the fire, the eternal fire, along with the branches that have not borne fruit. And I've talked about that a bit here at bloodandfaith.com. You can go, heck, don't read me. Go read the Gospels. Figure out who the people are that don't bear fruit. You know, what tree does the axe have the root at already that's cut down and cast into the fire? But the church are God's chosen people. The church is the holy race. We're a holy race. We're different than all the other people on the face of the earth. And our job today is to build Christian nations. Build Christian nations in which the Ten Commandments are our covenant with God. They are our constitution. They are the foundational moral and legal guidance for society. And the first and the third commandment refer to Jesus Christ explicitly. It's about Jesus Christ. He's our monarch. He's our king. Ten Commandments are not hard. You want to know what hard is? Look at our society today. You can't breathe or speak without violating some sort of speech code. And that's made perfectly clear to me in many, many different ways by different powers and authorities. They're not very happy with what I have to say. You get tired of hearing people talk about we live in a diverse and tolerant society. We do not. We do not. And the very people that claim to be diverse and tolerant are the biggest hypocrites of them all. And this was always their ploy. This was always their ploy. It's the ploy of Satan. It's the ploy of the dark one. Diversity and tolerance have been levers to move the conversation from one point to another. And now that they have consolidated power, boom, the hammer comes down and there must be no dissent. This is not a surprise. There's nothing surprising about this. Those have always been levers to move from one point to another. How can it be that all these things that are evil and wicked are not only talked about openly, but are pushed on children? All right, so in this life, as we ought to be building Christian nations of whatever ethnicity you happen to be, Greek, fine, a Greek nation. You do realize that all the scriptures written since the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead were written in Greek, a European language, not in a Semitic language. There's things there that are like right in our face that we can't see. We have eyes to see but can't see. Ears to hear but we won't hear. All the scriptures written since Jesus Christ rose from the dead were written in Greek. European tongue. Where did the gospel take hold of and grow 30, 60, and 100-fold? Among the sons of Japheth. In Europe, this is just a historical fact. This isn't speculation. Yes, the gospel went everywhere. It went to China. It went to Africa. It went everywhere. But it really took hold in Europe, and they built Christian nations there. And then, unfortunately, out of Europe came the whole concept of atheism. In my mind, this is the whole concept of 666. It's the whole falling away, the great falling away. We've already had the great falling away. Everybody's looking into the future for this falling away. Oh, there's going to be the great falling away. No, there has been, past tense, the great falling away. As the European nations said, we're going to turn to atheism. Corporate man. Corporate man is no God. 666 represents corporate man. I'm not saying there's not going to be more manifestations of that. There could be. If there's a mark of the beast, hey, how about genetic modification? The mixing of kinds. Just as in the days of Noah, you do a little DNA modification, put some beast DNA, some different kinds of DNA into you that are not human. Would that not be the true mark of the beast? And while the number remains corporate man in defiance against God, a return to Babel, indeed a return to Babel. Babel is the unification of mankind, corporate man, in defiance of the Almighty, in defiance of Jesus Christ. Hey, look, my point is we're already there, baby. We're not coming there. We're not going there. We've been there, done that. A lot of this is in the past tense. Now, what does the future hold? The future is Christian nations. The future is Christian nations. We've gone through this whole experiment of rejecting the Almighty God, of rejecting Jesus Christ, and we end up in America in 2022. We end up in oblivion. We're living oblivion. And don't be surprised if... if Deuteronomy 28 just keeps coming at us until we are utterly destroyed and we can rebuild and rebuild a Christian civilization here in North America. I'm talking to you too, Canada. For that matter, I'm talking to all the Hispanics too. Come on. Your greatness came out of Europe when the Spaniards converted you to Jesus Christ. And now you're looking back, you're looking for these other gods, these other idols. No, uh-uh. You know, I look at these cartels and they worship this death cult, Santa de Muerte. And you know, we'll just watch. Well, there already is a resurrection of the Aztec religions, human sacrifice. What do you think abortion is other than the sacrifice of babies to Moloch? Abortion is live human sacrifice to Satan himself, the worship of Moloch and Baal. And now they want, in some places, to make it more legal. California now, you just hear off-the-shelf pills, man, whatever. Other states, they're trying to push it, post-birth abortions. Kill the kid, openly. And the LGBTQ agenda amongst kids, pushing it on kids. Sodom and Gomorrah, man. It's Sodom and Gomorrah. And we're witnessing the destruction of the United States today, right now. And I don't think it stopped. I personally don't think it stopped. On one hand, I'm surprised at how quickly things are progressing with this Ukrainian war between Russia and the Ukraine. On the other hand, I'm not sure why I'm surprised, because I've been talking about it for years now, as far as an eventual war between Russia and the United States, which I don't want. I hope we don't have. But we kind of right there, aren't we? We're kind of right there. What's the end of that? Well, there's only one logical outcome for it. Unless some sort of amazing thing happens. It's not trending in a good direction, though. All I'm saying is it's not trending in a good direction. It's trending towards the worst possible consequence. And what I see is an enormous amount of hubris, enormous amount of arrogance. And I see the beast, the fourth beast out of Daniel chapter 7. I always want to go back and check my chapters. The fourth beast, terrifying, different than all the other beasts, that tramples down the other beast because it's jealous, it's enraged. It will not share its power with anybody. And a blindness, a complete blindness. Now, let's say worst case happens, and there's a complete collapse of, you know, our way of doing business in the Western world, which today really means the entire world. And I've commented, I said, look, this difference between, you know, communism and secular liberal capitalism is a naming difference as opposed to a fundamental difference. They're both atheistic. They both reject Jesus Christ. They're both debt-driven. They're both a combination of big government and big business. They both brook no dissent. The secular liberal atheism in the United States brooks no dissent. You can't speak against it. Deplatformed, demonetized, depersoned, called a Nazi, called a racist, marked for death. You go on a list with not only the government, but with their unofficial enforcers, Antifa. So I don't see a difference. Sorry, I see a distinction without a difference between all the isms, national socialism, socialism, communism, liberal, atheistic, secular capitalism. Why do you think that the elites between China and the United States get along so well? They're on the same page. And internally in the United States, if you speak against that, you go on a list. Oh, Canada, you too, right? Welcome to the list club. Welcome to the club of being on the list. You like that? You like supporting the truckers and having your bank account locked down? What did your parliament make a law saying that was permissible? Oh, it didn't? Of course not. Same as the United States. They just do whatever they want to do. Like I said, we don't live in a free country anymore. We do not. Australia, New Zealand, I've heard you had a few little dust-ups between the people that want to be free and the authorities. Do you live in a free country? Or are you free as long as you do what you're told? Oh, I live in a free country. As long as I do what I'm told, I'm free. Eventually, this goes into a larger conversation of if what is freedom and can there be such a thing as a free society? You know, what does it mean to be free? Can anybody just do whatever they want? Well, I don't know. Can anybody just go murder? Well, that would be crossing a line. Why? Why is it crossing the line? Well, it's wrong. Oh, so you think it is appropriate to impose your morality on others. Have a conversation with that with your kids. Oh, it's fun. I did with my daughter when she was 15. So do you think it's wrong to impose your morality on somebody else? Oh, absolutely. That's completely wrong. I say, well, by saying that, aren't you imposing your morality on me? Aren't you telling me it's wrong for me to impose my morality on somebody else? Isn't that an imposition of morality? She didn't talk to me for 2 days. But she got the point. I mean, this is simple logic, guys. This is simple logic. I don't know if they do this in college anymore. It's just logic. You don't have to have a PhD in this. You don't have to read a bunch of books in this. And I also know from experience, direct experience in grad school, that they understand this. They understand this very distinctly at a fundamental level. You know, they may reject right and wrong, but they don't reject power. They accept power, and they want to use power for whatever ends that they want to use them towards. And they reject the idea of power. They reject the idea of any morality other than what they control, what they want to impose. And you got half the population out there looking for this libertarian ideal of, you know, we can have liberty and do whatever we want. You got another portion that are hardcore, you know, there's no word for it anymore. You can't call them Marxists because it's a term that's become passé. What is that? I'm not a Marxist. I believe in the free economy and the free market and capitalism, which is, there's nothing free to it. And it's all government. They're establishments of government. It's a combination of government and big business. Banks are nothing but a legal fiction imposed by fiat. These aren't natural occurrences. A bank is not a natural occurrence in society. It is not. The government comes along, banks come along and say, here, we're going to make a law that says we can invent money out of thin air and lend and collect interest on money that doesn't exist. It's just paper money or just an entry into a digital account. All right, we're getting a little beyond on that. Maybe I'll delve into that deeper. I don't proclaim that finances and money are my bailiwick. Not an expert on that. But it's all tied in. Who are you going to serve? Oh, I'm a free man. Right, and you have a 30-year mortgage. The entire 30 productive years of your life, you'll be paying the bank. You'll be enslaved to the bank. Can't stop working, can you? Oh, but I'm free. I can change jobs. You cannot stop working. You're going to lose everything. Everything you thought you had, you're going to lose. We live in a slave society. It's debt-based slavery to the bankers and the governments. It's a big club. You and I aren't in it. All this idea that we're free and we can own our own house, there's lies. There's lies and lies and lies. We sign a contract, a debt contract of slavery, and we spend 30 years supposedly paying this stuff down, and we have all the risk. The quote-unquote homeowner has all the risk. We got to insure it. We got to maintain it. We got to keep it up. The government can tell us what we can do and not do to our property. You can't build a shed back there. It exceeds the amount of space covered. Oh, you can't build another house on your property. I don't care if it's an acre or 2 acres. The zoning says you can't. Oh, you can't do this. You can't do that. Oh, and by the way, you're going to pay rent on your property every year to the government. And if you stop paying the rent, they take it back. This is slavery, guys. That's slavery. It's middle-class slavery, and they're doing away with the middle class, and now they're going to go to a guaranteed universal basic income. And the slavery is total. Here's your house. Here's your apartment. Here's your income. Here's your free medical care. As long as you keep your mouth shut and you do what you're told. Oh, and here's your job. Here's where you're going to go work. But you get out of line, you say something out of line, oh, yeah, no, you didn't get your UBI this week because we saw what you posted on your blog, Dr. Berggren. You don't get that. It's the perfect system of totalitarian, and we're marching right down into it. People can't see it. So what do you need to do? Well, you start by raising your voice. Raise hell, man. It's time to raise hell. And you need to return to your God. Here's the other big thing. This is judgment in time and history. Here's your alternative. You got liberty under the monarch whose name is Jesus Christ, or you live under Satan's totalitarianism where your kids are taught LGBT, whatever the heck it is, and they're taught to hate white people. You like that? And you're never free. That's your alternative. Or you return to Jesus Christ as your monarch on earth right now, not in pie in the sky, not when you die and go to heaven. Now, build Christian nations now. That's your alternative. That's the only alternative. There is no third way. There's no third way. Sorry, there's no third way. I wish there was. Spent a good portion of my life trying to figure out how there can be a third way. The answer is there isn't. Conservatism is a false god. Conservatism is a false god. Family values. Why is there family values if evolution is true? Traditional values. What are you talking about? If we're a byproduct of time and chance and evolution, what are you talking about? There's nothing but power and death and destruction and evil unless you turn to Jesus Christ. This is judgment in history. I haven't even got to judge the eternal judgment. The eternal judgment it comes down to this. There is a judge. His name is Jesus Christ. He's the judge of the souls of every man on the planet, and woman, and child. The judge is Jesus Christ. Why are you rejecting Jesus Christ? He's your judge. Jesus Christ is the judge. I know everybody wants to hear, oh, Jesus loves you. Jesus is the Savior, came to save you for sins and forgive you. blah, 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 blah. And it's dulled men's hearings. They don't care. They don't believe it. And they don't know what the point is. If there's no sin, why do you need forgiveness? And this is what I talk about when I say you got to till the whole field. You got to till the whole field. You can't just, you know, expect to be out there clipping off the fruit when you haven't tilled your field. Tilled your field. But we're in a period of, oh, we're in a reset, all right. We're in a great reset. There's no question about that. And so my hope and desire is to stir up the minds of men, the hearts of men, to envision Christian nations where Jesus Christ is explicitly the monarch and you live by the Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments are the public covenant. They are the Constitution. They're the foundation of law and morality in society. And by the way, there is a whole system of biblical economics. There's a whole system of biblical economics, and it's not based on debt. Debtors are slaves. Bible's very clear. Debtors are slaves. That's why in the Holy Scriptures, if you're part of a Christian nation, at the end of 6 years, the debt's abolished. It's gone. At the end of 6 years, the debt's abolished. It's completely gone. Forgiven. Gone. No more. People aren't going to live in slavery. People don't live in slavery in a Christian nation. After 6 years, boom, no debt. Well, how does that even work? Well, we're about to find out because our money is about to explode and disappear. It might be living like the Amish and the Mennonites. It's almost like God has allowed the Amish and the Mennonites to stay in our countries to be a witness against us and be hope for when we have to go back and figure out how to do this all over again. I know that sounds crazy. But you want to know what crazy is? Crazy is when they teach a white nation to hate white people. That's what's crazy. Crazy is when they teach a Christian nation how to promote homosexuality amongst the children. So, you know, we don't need to talk about crazy. We're at full crazy right now. I don't know how it can get. Once you target the children, that's it. It's all over. We're already full crazy. I don't know that there's a darker place to go. There are darker things. And they're out there. You can see them. I won't even talk about them because I can't. I can't talk about them. It disturbs me too deeply when they go after the children the way they are. So my conclusion really is this. I think we're at a point where we really seriously need to think about Christian nations, not just as a pie in the sky idea. Oh, that's really cute, Fritz. That's really nice. You know, I'm so happy that you have this theological weird idea. I think you're going to have an opportunity to rebuild from nothing. And we need to be prepared. Pastors, you need to be prepared for this. You need to be prepared to preach to your congregation the necessity, absolute necessity of Christian nations. Will it be messy? Of course it'll be messy. Will it be easy? No. But you need to build a Christian nation, explicitly a Christian nation that honors Jesus Christ as a monarch, where the fundamental law is the Ten Commandments. And this is nothing new in society. This isn't a new theology. Go back and read what Harry Truman said about the Ten Commandments. I should put that up here, see if I can dig that up for this podcast. And where we explicitly honor him. And in a Christian nation, there's no need, there's no reason to accept and tolerate evil. We've again, those terms, tolerance and diversity, have been used as levers to move us away from serving Jesus Christ. They've been lies and deceptions. There's no commandment in the Bible that says, thou must be tolerant, thou must be diverse. And people come back and say, oh, but it says not to judge. Okay, well then stop judging me. If you believe that, then stop judging me. Stop telling me I can't judge if you say you can't judge. If you scold me for judging, isn't that a judgment against me? You hypocrites. rightly does the scriptures, rightly did Isaiah say, this people honors me with their lips, but their hearts is far from me. It's the same hypocrisy that Jesus Christ dealt with. Oh, you can't judge. Well, then be quiet. Close your lips. Because when you say that, you're judging me. And the maturity of theological wisdom in the church is abysmally low. And you listen to the liars, you listen to the deceivers, you listen to the Antichrist, but there's an ignorance of the totality of the Holy Scriptures. You take a kid from the time he can read to the time he's 20 years old, and he spends an hour in a day in the Holy Scriptures. Let me tell you something, you're not going to have a problem. Oh, that sounds like the Taliban. That sounds like ISIS. What do you think we have in the United States today when you send your kids to school and they're taught to love LGBTQ and to hate white people? We got the Taliban. We got Satan worship. You live in a theocracy. You live in a cult. What I'm saying is all this stuff, there is no third way. There's no third neutral way where it can just be okay. You're either going to explicitly serve Jesus Christ or a nation, or you'll end up as America in 2022. That's it. So I'm trying to bust some bubbles, break up some illusions about some neutral third path, explain that the future is only Christian nations. Oh, but you'll just impose uniformity on everybody. Where do you live today? Do you have the choice of wearing a mask or not? Is anybody saying, hey, you can take a mask or not take a mask? You can get vaxxed or not get vaxxed. You can be against homosexuality or for homosexuality. Doesn't matter. It's all. No. Baby, you already live in a situation where you're told what you can say and what you can't say, what you can think and what you can't think, what substances are going to be injected in your body or not injected in the body. You live in a cult. You live in a totalitarian society. Jesus says, hey, man, take my yoke upon you. My burden is light. My burden is gentle. And so, this isn't just for the individual. This is for entire nations. We have to look at ourselves as Christian nations. And each nation will be as different as each individual Christian is different. And Christian nations will disagree with each other on what to do. Just like you and your wife disagree, even though you're both Christians. Well, honey, I don't think this. I don't think that. Well, guess what? You got diversity there, but you both are believers in Jesus Christ. How much more with different nations are going to have different ways of expressing the glory of God through how God created them, just like you and I do. There's some people that can play the piano like Mozart. I can't do that. I wish I could. Different people have different gifts. Different nations, bloodlines have different gifts. Satan's plan is to unify them, bleach them, and have all the nations serve him. And in fact, get rid of the nations. The Almighty said, no, I didn't say that. I said, I want nations. I want different nations. He made that very clear at Babel. He divided them up so they could be separate nations, enforced it with different languages. And he even made it clear with Abraham. He says, I'm going to make you a father of many different bloodlines, many different nations. All right, I know this is a lot. I know this is a lot. This is a big, big picture. But we got to be serious about that. We have to believe this. That pastors are going to start preaching this stuff. Christian nations. I know it boggles people's minds. And I'll say again, man, I'm in the corner of the pastors. I know how hard it is out there. I know how hard. I know the stuff you put up with. I was going to say it's a hideous job. It's the most honorable job you can do, but it's a hard job. And people don't know what these guys put up with. So if you've got a pastor, support them. Do your best to encourage them, because that's not an easy position to be in. All right, Fritz Berggren, Blood and Faith. com, and welcome to the weekend. I will be busy this Saturday, but on Sunday we are going to do Genesis chapter 10, the Table of the Nations. You came out of Shem, Ham, or Japheth, one of them, and maybe over the time, you know, there's a little bit of Shem and Ham and Japheth in you too. But the whole earth was populated from Shem, Ham, and Japheth. We're going to talk about that. See you guys soon.